It's a beautiful morning. I think I'll go outside for a while and just smile. Just taking some clean, fresh air for me. No sense staying inside. If the weather's fine and you got the time, it's your chance to wake up and plan another brand new day.
Morning, Barcelona. You're listening to English Radio in the Morning on Radio Canal Barcelona 106.9 FM. I'm Virgil, and in the days after Thanksgiving, I can thankfully report I didn't eat my way into submission, though I did overdose on football, NFL that is. Watching the Denver Broncos actually served to tee up the conversation we're going to have today. As you probably know, the horse has a long history with humans. We first began dominating them for transportation and work around 4000 BC, and the relationship has continued to this day. But like most things in our world, the relationships have gotten a lot more complex. So here to talk with us about them is the founder and director of Horse Heart, Jordana Recasens. Welcome, Jordana.
Hi, Virgil, and everybody. Thank you so much for inviting me to your program. It's a great honor to be here. There's a reason why Winston Churchill said, "There's something about the outside of a horse that is good for the inside of a man." He knew something about the aching species that many of us just learning now. Horses are no longer just for transportation, sports, or companionship. They are teachers and powerful personal development partners.
Well, you know, every kid dreams about having a pony. Was this your catalyst for the work you're doing now?
Yeah, sure it was. I actually have been a very lucky girl who got a pony at the age of 7. His name was Selim, and he was just amazing. We were best friends. The connection I had with him was unique. We actually could understand each other perfectly. It was just as he could read my mind. All this fascinated me, and I wanted to have a deeper view of it.
Well, I think that's a good thing. I think it's nice to be able to fill that for fantasy, and now that fantasy becomes the work you have today. We'd like to talk more with her right after this.
Go. Yeah.
And that was Patti LaBelle and LaBelle with Lady Marmalade. Well, Jordana, firstly, tell us about Horse Heart. You know, what is it and some of the programs you offer?
So Horse Heart is a social impact project that started with the intention of improving the quality of life, whether of individuals, groups, or companies, while at the same time collaborating with ADE, a kin defense association, who rescue abused and abandoned horses, donkeys, and other animals and change their life for the better. We always work through a compromise of integrity and alignment with the animals. At Horse Heart, we try to establish a physical bond as well as an emotional one between people and animals, so we can easier recognize the patterns that are erroneous and are not working for us, while learning from the healing capacity, the leadership, the cohesion, the confidence and self-knowledge that those noble animals process and transmit. The most important value of Horse Heart is our team. Peter van Damele, sociologist, consultant, and horse coach for over 30 years, and Edgar Guerrero, horseman, expert in ethology, and coach for over 30 years, are in charge with the equine training programs and the team building of Horse Heart. For the other side, we have Eva Cano, horse coach, equine assisted therapist certified with the AGALA, Miriam Ramos, psychologist, coach, equine assisted therapist with the AGALA. They are in charge of the equine assisted therapist and the equine coaching of Horse Heart. IAGALA is the only equine method approved by the American Psychological Association, which also has the approval of the counseling organizations in mental health, couple and family therapy. We also have another site, Aldo Alcaraz, who is the director of the Equine Defense Association of ADE, and Christina Fon, the director of the Sanctuary School. So they are in charge of the sanctuary schools and the abilities of ADE. And of course, myself, I'm an anthropologist, an art historian, a tourist guide, and a sales specialist. Of course, an animal lover and the founder and director of the project, Horse Heart. We can offer different programs and activities. We have equine training programs. We also have equine team buildings. We have equine assisted therapists, equine coaching, and the sanctuary school.
Well, now, one of the things, obviously, you've got a great team of people who are there to help make this happen. What about the horses themselves? Are they specially trained, or are they a particular kind of breed that lends itself better to working with people?
No, not at all. The horses, they all have their own stories. Of course, they have different...
Horses have their own stories?
Yeah, of course. They have been rescued from different situations. So all the stories they have, themselves, will connect with different people that have their own stories itself. So that's why they have this important healing process with the human beings. And of course, we doesn't work just with the horse at ADE. We also work with other equine centers where we have like a strong connection and collaborating. So we can work in different parts of Spain, not just in ADE. So we work every day in the Maresme in two different centers, at Canfrisia and at, what was the name again? It doesn't come right now. I will tell you in a few moments.
Okay, great.
And of course, we can also work in Open Club Barcelona and in different equine centers around Spain. So okay. We can always move depending on our clients' needs.
Well, one of the primary activities that you have involves training and consulting programs aimed at making change happen in how managers and their teams function within an organization, a corporation, or whatever. How do you make that happen?
Real change can only be reached through two basic principles: self-awareness, recognizing and being honest about what your real objectives are, while learning and recognize and manage your emotions. And two, connection with team members. The essential words are here: mutual confidence and trust. If that exists, any subject can be discussed without fear. Objectives, malfunctioning, internal team problem, etc. We make that happen through the exercises with horses and the feedback sessions based on the film exercises. Big necks and to work with 500 kilos of a horse is not a joke. It throws your defenses and show who and how you are as a manager or team member. Sharing this experience with and discuss it with the team members creates a completely different relationship between them. Sharing emotional experiences is key in creating real connections. Colleagues change into persons like ourselves.
Give me an example of how you do that. I mean, how do you get a team and the horse to come together around a project?
So actually, we have different activities during the day. So we start with the connection of the people with the horses. Little by little, they start connecting with them, talking to them, touching them. We explain all about the safety and how they have to react in case the horse, of course, they are living animals. Mm-hmm. Little by little, we start to do different activities. First, we will try an activity with the group, with the whole group, and we will try actually to get the attention of the horses coming to us. And that's, of course, about the, how would you say, like the imagination of the group and see how they're getting to that, how would you say, to their goal, right? The goal to getting the attention of the horse.
Well, no, looking at, you know, your website, and there is a photo where the people were all kind of grouped together.
Exactly.
And the horse was off here. You know, is this the case of getting the horse to come and mm-hmm. connect with the people there?
Exactly. That's just the way how they do it. Horses are like people. They live in groups. So if they're going to see, like, you're in your group, you're all together and connected, they are going to be willing to get to you and connecting to you. You're not going to fear. You're actually going to see what's happening and getting interaction with you. And that's the yeah. That's
so they have curiosity.
Oh, of course they have. They are like we are, like human beings in a lot of different ways.
Okay. Now, how do you get companies and engage them and convince them this is a viable method for their organization?
So nowadays, companies must be agile, fast and innovative, and no time to lose. Many new technologies can be introduced, but they will not only function if the company's culture is prepared. They have to be transparent, fluid, and clear communication. They have to be transversal projects. This is only possible if their teams are prepared. No time should be losing to have bad-functioning teams with deficient internal and external communication. One of the biggest problems in many companies those days. That's where we come in. We're breaking barriers between departments, between teams, and within ourselves. The impact of our session is huge in a little time, with excellent results. Companies that recognize these needs are our clients, like Carrefour, like Caixa, Abertis, and they all repeat working with us as with their many teams.
Well, the thing is that you look at it, you say that you want to have a company that is open and transparent and fluid and all of that. But many companies don't necessarily look at that. People look at the bottom line. All right, our sales are up or our profits are up, but they don't necessarily look at the intangibles of people, of communication, of being able to do this. How do you get them to look at that?
Well, actually, the most important thing is to see, of course, you're talking about results, right? Mm-hmm. So if there's a problem in the communication of the company, the results are going to be lowering. They're not going to increase. When people, like when these companies start to use other ways of consultancy, for example, and other ways to get together with the team, as team buildings with the horses, it's a very interesting way because it increases all the process. The horses, they act like mirrors. So if somebody is afraid of a horse, the horse is going to be afraid of you. We have to think like horses, they have been always eaten by the predators. So they always have to run away. They know what you feel. They kind of like read people's mind. So they're going to see what your intentions are. So if you're secure of yourself, if you're trusting you, if you know how to bring the people to you, the horse is going to trust you as well, and he's going to follow you. But instead, if you are scared, if you don't trust you, if you don't believe in yourself, the horse is not going to believe in yourself either. So it's just not going to, trying to work with you. And that is the key for our therapies. And that's why those companies are seeing all this result fastening.
Okay, well, the thing that goes back to saying that, I guess, leaders are born and not made. So leadership, the horse will recognize it and respond to it.
Exactly.
Okay, well, we'll be back to talk more about this right after this. We'll be right back. And that was Herbie Hancock, the great Herbie Hancock, with Fat Mama. So, in a similar vein we talked about earlier, Horseheart has developed team-building programs for businesses and groups. Now, how do these differ from the programs we talked about before?
Actually, there's no difference at all. It's all about self-awareness, communication, shared objectives, and team cohesion, as I explained before.
Well, I mean, the thing is that it could be the same, but yet the objectives are going to be kind of different in some ways. When you talk about breaking down communications and the barriers to communication, that's one thing in terms of helping people to be able to talk more about themselves. Team building is trying to inspire confidence in people to follow a leader or to follow the program or to buy into what the corporation's mission is. So it's kind of a little different thing there.
Well, actually, there is a little different. It will be the more in-depth work that we do with the training courses or with the team buildings. The team buildings will be more of an ephemeral day. Like, we will work with the same, we will have the same activities. We will work the same values, self-esteem, connection with the group, confidence. But it's not going to be as a long process, long-term process. When we do the training courses, we can have, like, for months, talking with different teams, seeing what's their goal, the goal of the whole company, and working through different teams from the old company, as we did before with other companies, as Abertis, for example. But when we do a team building, something is going to be for a day, to have an experience of the whole group together. And, of course, we're going to work the same values. That's what I was saying, like, it's exactly the same. But, yeah, there is a little difference. Okay. You are right about that.
But the time is going to be key. We were looking at making an impact on a day. Mm-hmm. And to be able to help people to kind of open their eyes up in that day.
Exactly.
And then go back the next day and really be able to start working as a team.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think good. We've been involved in a lot of those over the course of my career, and it's sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Now, many people have had little contact with horses, and you know, others like me have had bad experiences with horses. I remember a couple of them. When I was a kid, I got up on a horse, and the horse, I guess, didn't want my weight on him, and he started bucking. And so, yeah, I got the mess. I got off. And then one time we went to a dude ranch, and we were walking past the stables, and this one horse just looked at us, you know, with his evil eye, and was just like, you know, like, what are you guys doing here? And it was like, you know, he made it clear he didn't like us. So, again, people have these fears. How do you overcome them?
Well, we introduced the participants little by little in the world of the horses, of course. Many people have respect, as you say, fear for horses. But that's no problem. We don't oblige anybody. But everybody always participates and is able to say by the end of the day, if I can do this, I can do anything. And bingo, that's what we want.
Really?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Okay.
want people to really start to have a self-consciousness, to think about themselves, to see the horse out of the mirrors that they are, right?
Okay. So if you look at it, you know, if someone who has this block, a mental block that, you know, I don't like horses because horses don't like me or whatever, how do you break that down?
It's just about themselves. You're not going to break it down yourself in a rough way. It's going to be smoothly. That's how horses are. You always have to say, stay firm with horses, but in a smoothly way, like you have to do with your team. If you are rough to your team, if you say them what you do in a bad way, they're not going to be happy doing it. It's more about inspiring them to give them the power and able to, little by little, discover themselves how they have to work. Not telling how they have to do it, but what they have to do. And it's about up to themselves to get to that goal. Right? But this will be the same with horses. We don't oblige anybody to get in contact with them, but little by little, they're going to see, they're going to feel, and they're going to connect with the empathy. And that's actually what we want. That's the most important thing about it.
We had a saying back in the military, you know, we talked about leadership. You know, you don't lead people, you get them to want to follow you.
Exactly. That's exactly what we do with the horses. It's exactly the same way. That's why we are so connected with horses, and it's a extraordinary work to do with them and with extremely results.
I think it's good because, again, you're talking about being able to take equine qualities and try to give them to a human.
Mm-hmm.
And let the true human qualities that are in a horse already come forward.
Exactly. They are not contaminated by the society. They are pure animals without, they don't have envy. They don't want to be better than anybody. They're just pure. and transparent and honest, and they're just going to show you what you really are and how you really are.
Now, in all of these activities for a corporation or a senior executive, the question is going to be asked is, how do I measure success? So what's your response to that?
Okay, good question. We always end our sessions with a questionnaire about what people learned on the spot, written down from the heart. Some days later, we ask the same question online, where our responding steps in. All this information will be put in a final report for IHR to decide the next steps to be done. This information is gold in the hands of their coaches and team leaders. We can also combine this information with team satisfaction service of 360 feedback evaluations before and after the sessions to be able to offer statistical results of our work.
Okay, so it's a case where you're measuring qualitative issues.
Exactly.
And saying that, you know, the group has been able to learn how to become more interactive, more communicative, and this should then translate into
exactly something. And to see, like, also by individuals and also as a team, to see how they're connecting with each other, how they are good in the roles they are supposed to do, because sometimes you can have a sales leader and actually he would not like to be the leader, he would prefer to be behind the leader. And with those exercises, you actually could see which the roles in a group are, you know, the natural way done or imposed by the
system.
By the system, exactly.
Okay, now then it goes back to the issue we want to look at in terms of evaluating people. So if we have a corporation, a department, whatever, looking to see, you know, how good are the people that I have in place? Mm-hmm. Are they effective leaders? Do they have the skills necessary? Can you help provide that kind of support and documentation for them to be able to say that, based on what we've seen, based upon the feedback, this person, you know, needs these things to help improve their leadership skills. Mm-hmm. So you can do that.
Yeah, of course. We can give some advice about what we have seen on land, working with the horses. So we say, of course, all those things that we see in order to make them improve and to let themselves think about it. It's more, we say what we see, we put it over there, and then it's up to every person to really connect with those feelings and see what they want to change and see what it's like, sounding inside. Like,
right.
It's kind of like, oh, wow, this is interesting. And I really connect with this, with this emotion, with this feeling, with the thought, and I really want to improve on that. And
you help them to the path of self-discovery.
Self-awareness.
Okay, and
yes.
Then from that, they should be able to take something that they can then apply.
Definitely, and because it's so obvious, because it's an animal doing it for them, it's actually like super, super powerful. It's very powerful. Mm. It really makes a before and after, right? After
right,
they do.
Right.
So people never forget this, and actually we always have teams doing it every year to improve and to change new things.
Okay. Well, you're listening to 106.9 FM, Radio Canal Barcelona, English Radio Thursday. We'll be back to talk more with our guest right after this. That was Patty Austin with If We're Not in Love. Now, one of the areas you also emphasize in the use of horses for psychological help and individual coaching. How does that work?
So horses are large, imposing animals that can weigh anywhere from several hundred to 1,000 pounds. They're also social animals, just like humans, and they have definite roles within their herds. Horses have distinct personalities, moods, and attitudes. If you ever doubted this, just watch an interaction between a person and a horse. What works with one person or one horse will not necessarily work with another. A horse may seem stubborn or undefiant or playful and fun. In fact, they like to have fun and they like to be with their peers just like we do. Documented research shows positive physical and psychological results from human interaction with horses. These include, but are not limited to, decreased blood pressure and heart rate, lower levels of stress, reduced feelings of tension, anxiety, anger, and hostility, as well as increased levels of beta endorphins and beneficial feelings of self-esteem, empowerment, patience, and trust. Often, patients being treated with autism have difficulty relating to other human beings and would not accept closeness with another, but they will with horses. There's a bond that develops over time with equine-assisted therapy that is profound and natural, according to therapists utilizing the modality.
Well, one of the things that you look at when you look at therapy, a therapist, psychologist, psychiatrist, you know, look at a patient, and they'll have an idea of, you know, possibly, you know, what the issues might be, or the patient will tell them what the issues are. So how do you really then match up a horse with a person? Say that you've got a person who might have, you know, obviously, you know, self-image problems, or someone who might have anger management problems. How do you match up a horse with the person to be able to work on that?
Okay, so it's a quite similar process, but with the horses, right? So initially, upon entering the corral where the horse is located, the passion is most likely fearful, of course. After all, the horse is much larger and pretty frightening to someone with limited ability to interact, as difficulty communicating, and is recovering from alcohol or drug abuse or occurring disorders. Lacking self-esteem, the natural tendency is to run away, right? Mm-hmm. But equine-assisted therapy typically occurs in small group settings, usually less than a dozen participants, and facilitated by certified equine-assisted therapist and training professional therapist. The process generally involves establishing a presence with the horse and gradually maturing the relationship. This does not involve actual riding of the horse, but does involve experiential group exercises with them, like we do with the training and with the team buildings. Individuals might receive one-on-one focus during the group setting. Following the session, the individuals are allowed to time process their experiences with their therapist, who then will integrate these insights into the patient's treatment plans.
Well, all right, so what I'm looking at it again, thinking about, you know, therapy and thinking about how do you, you know, you've looked at something, you looked at what a person needs. So you got anger management issues. Now, you want to try to get to the root of that person's anger. How do you do that? I mean, the horse can't talk to you and say, all right, see, what's your problem? It'd be great if they could. But, you know, so how do you then get the person to be able to look at that anger inside of them? And then how does the horse help, you know, bring it out? I mean, you don't want to have the horse receive the person's anger. Mm-hmm. You want to have the horse, you know, kind of dissipate the anger. How do you really use that, you know, therapeutically?
That's actually what the patient has to learn itself. He will learn that he wants to interact with the horses or with the horse itself. If he has anger, the horse will not want it to be getting to him, and he will say like these things that you were saying, oh, the horse actually doesn't like me. But that's not true. The horse doesn't have to be like that. It's more about patient to calm down and notice that your anger, thinking about why your anger and working on that will have the horse getting back to you. So, and that will be like, so that will make you feel so good that you will learn about this person and will learning to do it with also like with your companions, with your friends, with your family, and little by little you will get a self-awareness of what's happening.
Well, self-awareness works only if the person is willing to do the work, really want to say, you know, okay, I admit I have a problem. I admit that maybe my anger stems from childhood abuse. So how do you draw that out of the person? So the therapist who's working with the person and the horse has to at some point be able to ask those questions to help the person see those things and be mm-hmm. able to verbalize them.
Exactly.
And the horse becomes a facilitator. So, I mean, how does that process work?
So to effectively communicate with the horse involves a lot of patience, consistency, attention, and understanding. Horses are very, very sensitive to mood and have moods of their own, of course. Accordingly to equine experts, horses have an ability to mirror the moods of people. A patient might tell a therapist that the horse is stubborn, when in fact it is the passion itself that is stubborn and resistant. Another often say the initial comments, what I say to you, the horse doesn't like me. But horses say experts are honest, and this makes them valuable assets in helping patients develop necessary nonverbal communication skills. This requires the patient to get outside of themselves to respond to the horse with affection and attention. And the result is that the horse will respond in a similar fashion.
Well, I know there's times when we look at that, you know, we want, there are people that we know who have problems expressing or manifesting love, affection, attention, caring. If they can't do that with people, how can they do that with the horse?
Because the horse will not expect anything from you. They just give you love. They just give you care without having nothing in return. They don't need anything in return from you. So there's a very strong connection and bond that develops between the horse and the patient. It all involves affection, assertiveness, communication, confidence, empathy, and mutual trust. Of course, if you're trusting a 500 kilos animal and you see like he's responding back to you, that's a great connection, a great feeling, a great emotion that it's not going to actually going to change yourself in a way that you will never get back to that. And people that try it once, yeah, that's what I told you, they always want to repeat because...
Well, they have, you know, they've had exercises where, you know, when in a group where a person will fall and other people in the group will catch them. You can't do that with a horse.
No, of course not. That's different. Yeah.
So, what are some of the exercises that you use with a horse to get a person to be able to start trusting?
Mm-hmm. Well, we can do like this group activity I told you first, but a very interesting activity that we do one by one with the horse is to make the horse going after you do a little circuit. It's up to you how you do the circuit, but you know where you have to start and where you have to end, right? So you have to do all the circuit with the horse, but of course, it's depending on how you're feeling and how, if you're trusting you and how your self-confidence, if the horse is going to do it. Sometimes,
if you start walking and the horse doesn't follow you.
Of course, it can happen.
There's a problem here.
Yeah, well, it's a problem. You have to resolve that problem like you will do in real life, right? We have problems all the time with everything at our job, our boss, our partner, our friends. So we have to resolve it the same way.
Okay, so a person at that point realizes, all right, I got a problem. This horse is not responding to me.
Yeah, so what should I do? You start to use your imagination. You start to really connect with yourself, with your emotions, in order to connect with the horse. And that's where it comes, the truth of it. When it's more the passion, the heart, the essence of the human beings and the horse, right? And that's what we actually want. We want people to think. We want people to feel. And we want people to connect with the environment, with the horses, with the people.
Well, then you got the person, you know, like me, who's going to short circuit and say, okay, let me pull out a sugar cube or pull out a carrot, and maybe that'll do it.
Yeah, people would do that.
See if I can fool the horse this way.
No, yeah, but that's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can do it, but we don't actually do work with treats and the activities. We try to do it in another way.
So that the person really has to manifest their personality.
Exactly.
And be able to do it.
Exactly. And there's, yeah, a lot of things are showing on those days. It's okay. Very, very interesting.
Well, we'll be back with some closing comments right after this.
Thank you.
And that was the legendary Art Pepper with For Art's Sake. Well, if people wanted to learn more about Horseheart, where can they find information?
Well, they can check our website, www.horseheart.eu, or contact me directly for a need. We also have a Facebook page, that's Horseheart, and an Instagram page, Horseheart as well. So anything, if you have any question for team buildings, training programs for companies, or for assisted therapies, coaching, or even for the Sanctuary School, we also have visiting families and schools over the year, please feel free to ask me. I'm more than happy to receive your doubts.
Now, one of the things we were also talking about, that you also help with individuals, you know, who have problems or issues, that it's not just limited to corporations or organizations. You can help individual people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's what we do with the Akin Assisted Therapy or with the Akin Coaching. It's always to get, of course, self-conscious, and we work... As we will work with regular coaching without a horse, or a regular therapist without a horse, but we combine both things, and mm-hmm. we do these different exercises that I was telling you, just with one-to-one person, right? So we will try to get the attention of the horse. We'll try to connect with the horse, and it's going to be different activities, different exercises through the work. It's usually going to be 4 or 5 sessions until you really finish that goal that you want to achieve, or that problem that you might have, or that addiction, or, well.
So you've done things within anorexia and, again, anger management, things like that? So
of course. There are a lot of issues with adolescents. Who, of course, they have anxiety for the exams. There's so much pressure those days in schools, or they just don't like their bodies. Of course, there are a lot of,
It's a teenager thing.
So we work a lot of with teenagers, with groups, with associations, in order to help them to get more self-esteem, more self-trust, and try to evolve.
Well, teenagers... As we know, because we've been teenagers at some mm-hmm. point in our lives,
of
that
course.
You know, we think we know everything, and we don't necessarily respond to traditional things. How do you reach a teenager to be able to get them to think about this kind of a therapy?
Well, it's always first their parents who are worried about what's going on, the school, of course, as well, and even sometimes the friends. And so it's like the teenager maybe will not be willing at the first time, but after a few days he's going to see, like, maybe he does not connect with the people, but he's connecting with the horse. Hmm. And what the horse is giving to him, something like nobody can give him, and he really wants, he gets a touch with the horse, he gets a connection with the horse. Hmm. So he wants to continue going to see the horse, to connect with that animal who makes him forget everything that's going on in his life. And that's how we start working with that. With the horse, it's easier to get to the feelings of the children, to see what's going on without him having to explain how he's feeling. So it's an easier way to connect with them while they're not wanting to open themselves. They're opening their hearts anyway to the horses, and the horses will explain us what's going on, right? So
Which is great.
Yeah,
it's great.
It decreases the process very fast.
It's interesting. It's very interesting. Now, also, one of the things that we talked about that you guys do is that you have an animal refuge, where not only do you help horses, but they're all kind of animals that you take in.
Exactly. Yeah, so Horse Heart is a project that was born to help ADE, Equine Defense Association, while improve people's health and their quality of life through working with the horses. So ADE, since 2001, has been doing an extraordinary job rescuing and rehabilitating abused, neglected, and abandoned horses, ponies, donkeys, and any other animals in need. So they also have cats, dogs, goats.
Nice. Yeah, I've seen some pigs and everything there.
Pigs, yeah. A lot of different animals, all farm animals, and animal that will have a need will be for them to rescue. And they also work very hard to provide each rescue animal a safe and loving home, either at their 2 centers they have, at close to Igualada,
yeah.
And or via rehoming. They always do a big job rehoming all these animals. I have to say that they have saved more than 1,800 animals through the years. And of course, Horse Heart is willing to help them continue saving more and more animals and educate our society into empathy, self-awareness, and mutual confidence and trust.
Well, obviously, you have we look at revenue streams, you have the corporations who pay you to do the therapies and coaching and all of that. But the programs of refuge and sanctuary must come from private donations?
Well, actually, no. It's from families itself that they want to go for a day and visit the center itself. Then we offer an educational space in which we guide to. We have tour guided tours for schools and for families, and there the children are in their contact with the animals. So it's kind of like an emotional experience, and we base it on the active learning with the children with the animals outside of the nature,
not
in a class, but more like learning what the real life is, right? So it's more about the connection between the animals and the horses, of course. We also do different activities with the horses as well, with the
okay.
kids.
Okay, all right, that's good. So if you had to look in the future, as you must as the director of the program,
yes.
where do you see Horse Heart going?
Well, I would like to grow in different ways. About the sanctuary school, I would really like to create a school itself, like a free school where kids can be able to be learning everything, but not in a classroom, not sitting in a chair while following some rules, but actually learning since what they are good in, what they have interest in. Because I think like if you have interest in something, you are learning faster than if you have and you are obliged to memorize things that are not going you're not going to use any time.
Right.
I think it's more important to have self-empathy, to connect with the animals and see what is collaborate with other children and to learn because you really want to. I think that's will be the future. That's what we need. And of course, about what the therapists and the training with horses, I will continue the same way. We wanted to have some remodeling at ADE because it's actually needed.
Mm.
That's what I wanted to, all these therapists and these activities to could save a little bit for helping them to reestablish all the spaces for the animals, to establish a better area for the little shelter.
Right.
And for the kids, of course, want to make a huger place for the classroom and to be able to get more schools in there. So it's little by little, a lot of work, but I hope it will going to be done.
I think it's a great cause. I think it's something that I think oftentimes, because we've become more of a technological society, we've kind of gone away from a lot of the connection we have with animals.
Exactly.
I mean, we see so many animals that are abused and, especially this time of the year, people tend to give puppies and chickens and all that as gifts, and they don't realize that it's a responsibility.
Exactly.
This is a little life here that you are taking the responsibility for. So I think the more we can help people reconnect with that essential man-animal bond is going to be good for us overall.
Definitely, definitely. And in fact, we're all the same. We're all nature. So if you kill the nature, if you kill the animals, you're killing yourself at the end. But people, it's like we need to re-educate people. People need to get closer to that, to connect with that feeling and really understand it themselves. And I think that's the future of life. I mean, that's how if everybody would be doing those kind of
we'd have a much better world.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, it's been great talking to you.
Thank you so much. It's been great to be here.
It's been wonderful. So we're going to leave you. I'm going to let Ariana Nick-Krug take us out with a little bit of Let's Stay Together. And let's stay together, Barcelona. Have a great one. We'll talk to you next week.
So in love with you, whatever you want to do is all right with me. Cause you make me feel so brand new. And I want to my life with you. Let me say that since we've been together, loving you forever is what I need. Let sun, you come running to. I'll never be untrue. Oh, baby, let's stay. They turn around and make